K-A-L-W.
Federal drought report released last week says only 9% of California is still in a drought. And if you've been paying attention to the weather over the past few months, you'd believe it.
Some breaking news tonight. Within the past 30 minutes, an evacuation advisory has been issued for the entire area along Coyote Creek, north of Interstate 280 and south of Highway 237. Now, the creek there is still rising. A flood warning has also been issued until further notice.
We have an estimate on winter storm flood damage across California. Right now, it's looking like at least $50 billion. SkyDrone 5 giving us an exclusive look. One hard-hit area, these some amazing images of the Pfeiffer Canyon Bridge.
Today, engineers got a closer look at the huge hole in the Oroville Dam spillway. This was the scene yesterday when a CBS 13 viewer captured this video of chunks of concrete flying through the air.
A year ago, this type of weather was almost unimaginable. Almost all areas of the state were in a very severe drought. But does all this rain mean California's water woes are over? KALW's energy and environment reporter Angela Johnston has more.
If you stand on the edge of the Almaden Dam in San Jose right now, you can feel the ground violently shaking and vibrating beneath your feet. That's the result of thousands of cubic feet of water rushing out of the reservoir, down into a creek, flowing into the bay. The water's being released to keep the reservoir from overflowing, because this spring, it's been really, really full.
Yeah, really full.
That's Ken Stumpf. He's a hydrographer for the Santa Clara Valley Water District, which owns this reservoir. Stumpf measures and manages the water here by looking at how many steel poles stick out of the water.
There's probably 100 of them at least, and they go down by 2-foot increments all the way down into the reservoir. And then we simply take a tape measure and measure down to the water surface.
Today, there are only 4 poles showing. Last year was pretty different. This reservoir became a sort of poster child for the drought. It was barely 5% full. So low that strange things usually buried beneath the water resurfaced.
You could see all the old cars that were, there was a couple of cars in there, but basically a little puddle.
A rusty old Ford Pinto buried halfway beneath cracked mud. And it sounded a lot different here than it does now.
It'd be just trickling, just enough to keep the watershed wet.
But Stumpf isn't celebrating the end of the drought.
We're always in a drought. You know, we live in a Mediterranean climate.
Which means, he says, we get a bunch of rainfall at once.
Or we get nothing at all.
We just happen to be in a wet year. The water policy folks, they seem to agree.
If you think of drought as only rainfall, one could argue the drought is over, but I think that's a mistake. I think that's the wrong way to think about it.
Peter Glick runs the Pacific Institute and has been studying water issues in California for decades.
The real question is, do we have enough water in California to do the things we want to do? And the unfortunate reality is that even in a wet year, like this year, we have water problems.
He says there are still rural towns without clean drinking water and fish in the bay that don't have enough fresh water to survive. And we're letting stormwater go down the drain. And Californians pumped way too much groundwater during the drought.
We take too much out. We use more groundwater than nature naturally recharges, even in a wet year. And that is simply unsustainable.
This is a huge problem in the Central Valley. You know, that part of the state that produces almost all your fruits and vegetables and dairy and meat. There's a new law requiring groundwater management, but people have 20 years to start implementing it. The good news, says Glick, is that there are simple solutions out there.
And they're cheaper, and they're faster, and they're more environmentally sound than the traditional things that we did in the last century.
Like pumping aquifers and building dams, which he says can have implications even for the Bay Area. One center for a lot of these new solutions, Stanford University. That's where Dr. Richard Luthi is overseeing creative projects like parks that capture stormwater.
Think of a park that has a pond, maybe a big pond.
Built so that the rainwater from all the surrounding neighborhoods will flow down into it.
But what this park-like feature is doing is holding water for a period of time, then running it through some wetlands, and then from there through some final filters before it goes in the ground.
They're actually testing this idea right now in Los Angeles, near the Burbank Airport. But this kind of park wouldn't work everywhere in the Bay Area.
Like, I live on the Stanford campus, and as people would know who are gardeners, if you try to plant a shrub or something, you dig down a few feet, and it's just this Santa Clara adobe clay.
Water won't seep through that soil so well. But Livermore, Sonoma, South San Jose, they all have the right soil for percolating parks. Luthi says there are plenty of innovative projects other cities could take on.
Another thing we could do is to take our wastewater and treat it to a high degree and then reuse it.
Luthi drives me to a corner of campus to show me what he means.
And this is where about half the sewage on the Stanford campus goes.
We're at the Cotega Resource Recovery Center. It looks like a boiler room without walls. A series of pumps and tanks and machines recycle wastewater from the campus.
The campus produces about 1 million gallons of wastewater a day.
Luthi says this project demonstrates that Stanford has the ability to capture half of that.
500,000 gallons a day will give us water security for the foreseeable future. I like to say it's our water security for the rest of the century.
Think of the wastewater that comes into the system as a cup full of jam, coffee grounds, sand, and water all mixed together. After sitting and sieving and scraping away, the coffee grounds and sand filter out, but the jam is left. How do they get rid of the jam? They feed it to bacteria. The final result? Water that isn't safe to drink just yet, but safe to use on lawns or to fill up lakes on campus. This treatment plant's tiny compared to most municipal ones. It's not quite mobile, but Luthi says most cities could set these up without having to dig up streets, adding to water supplies everywhere.
You could think of it as like a satellite plant. In other words, it's not reclaiming water at the big plant, but further away, further into the city where the water is generated and needed, and that saves the pumping cost.
Luthi says if we keep working on innovations like these, when the next drought comes along, and yes, there will be another one, when reservoirs like the one we visited earlier don't sound like this, we'll be more prepared. For Cross Currents, I'm Angela Johnston.